I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Some damn good cigar right here.
It's your one seat, right?
If it's not, it's close, Danny. It's definitely close. That is Danny Ruyer from the successful Grant and Danny radio show. I am Big Shooter from the afternoon show. And we're taking you all the way till noon on a Sunday. That's right.
Hey.
6-day work week for your pals. We love it. It's the best. Joining us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, he is the Executive Vice President and General Manager of the Fredericksburg Nationals. Mr. Nick Hall is with myself and Danny Hoo-Hoo. Nick, thank you so much for making the time on a Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day. How are you, sir?
Oh, very, very good. Happy Father's Day to you guys as well. Just hanging out right now at the actual stadium here in Fredericksburg.
All right, you got to talk to me about the stadium. I've heard rave reviews. I've seen the pictures. It looks to be a beautiful facility. Talk a little bit about how that bad boy turned out.
Oh, man, we couldn't be any more excited and any more proud of the stadium and where it's at right now and how it looks inside the park, man. It's a you know, very, very modernized stadium. We got I'm a nerd. So the amount of LED that we have inside the park, the amenities that we have inside the park, it's my dream. It's my dream to be able to have all of these fancy new toys. I mean, you know, I'm fairly confident our 25-foot by 60-foot Jumbotron is the biggest TV in Fredericksburg. I'm pretty sure it is.
Nice. So when was construction done, and how was it going through all that, I don't know, given what the hell's going on in the world?
Yeah, no kidding. We would have been able to play baseball on April 23rd. That was our opening day. We were ready to go, ready to play baseball. However, all of the craziness that is the COVID-19 obviously derailed those plans slightly. So what we did when we found out the season was delayed is we made plans to kind of change our construction schedule along with that too. So we're ready to play at the drop of a hat, but at the same time, there were significant changes to the construction timeline when it was announced that baseball would be on a delay of, at the time, what seemed to be maybe hopefully a month, maybe two. And now, as we're seeing in multiple different ways, probably going to be a little bit longer than 1 month or 2 months.
Nick, you got to talk to me about that. As you are watching, we're all watching these negotiations between Major League Baseball and the Players Union, and everyone wants baseball, every sports fan. And you guys have more irons in the fire than anybody, not only opening a new building, but you're wanting to play games, your first season in Fredericksburg. I imagine the process has been arduous, just sitting here and just waiting. As you said, we can play baseball at the drop of a dime. How has that whole thing been for you?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a little bit unique. So, you know, the one thing that everybody talks about is, you know, is if we could just play baseball, as long as they get something worked out, we're good to go, right? Well, it's a little bit different in the minor league system. I mean, the majors, they have that TV revenue. They have that TV revenue. We're all going to be turning on ESPN, and we're all going to be turning on our local affiliates to be able to watch the Nationals and watch those games. You don't have that opportunity in minor league baseball. You don't have that opportunity to watch the Fred Nats and watch the other minor league teams from around our region on TV. We solely rely on butts in the seats, like we like to talk about it. We solely rely on the actual fans coming out to the game. So we're also in a little bit of a different situation than the major league clubs in that we don't just need the players and owners to figure it out to be able to play baseball. We also need the ability to have fans at games. Mm. And, you know, it's a scary realization, but that's a tall ask to happen within the next month. That's a very tall ask.
Nick Hall with us here from the Fredericksburg Nationals. Brand spanking new stadium, whenever there is baseball. I cannot wait to go down there and check it out. So you mentioned that. Obviously, the butts in seats is the thing, and that's why there's always these fun minor league promotions and whatever, you know, kind of mid-sized town in America where it's like, eat every hamburger promotion, or I'm sure that's a great promotion, but you know what I mean? That's why I'm not doing that. But you know what I mean,
now.
Nick?
It is now.
Yeah. Yeah, eat 10 hamburgers and win another ticket or something. But, like, what kind of funding? And this is something I've actually never known. I'm embarrassed. Because I know, for example, I'll give you this. The Staten Island Yankees, it's like, I think, a New York Penn League. It's a bunch of 19-year-old kids. They had all the money because Steinbrenner basically would bestow them with gifts. And some of the other teams weren't as well funded. They would get better prospects, better players, and they would do better. What kind of funding does come from Major League Baseball teams just in terms of operational costs? Or is it solely butts in seats, period, end of story?
It is. We are completely owned separately and operated separately from the major league club. So there's no I say there's no financial responsibility, but that would be false for me to completely say that they have nothing to do with it. So the one thing you have to realize is that all the players that we have on the field are paid by the Washington Nationals, and that's a huge expense that minor league baseball would not be able to cover if we were responsible for paying the salaries of some of these players. I mean, some of these players that you see in at the single A level where we're at, these are still first and second round draft picks with $3 to $5 million signing bonuses. If we had to, you know, the Nationals cover that. So I guess when it comes to what kind of financial gifts and financial help do we get from the parent clubs, from the MLB, it would be the actual covering of all the salaries of all the coaches and the players. And that's a huge, huge thing. And that's what makes the relationship between minor league baseball and major league baseball so great, is that we find a way to coexist. So the minor league team may be running the stadium. They may be running the promotions, doing all that fun stuff, but the product on the field is not owned in a way by the minor league team. That is still a major league product that you're seeing night after night. They're all draft picks. They're all paid for and funded by the actual Washington Nationals.
Very unique set of circumstances. We're joined by the general manager of the Fredericksburg Nationals, Nick Hall. Talk to me, Nick. We got a lot of listeners down in Fredericksburg. Technically, it's a different market from Washington, D.C., but they dig this station. And I got to say, you know, for someone that's been following the franchise when it was up here since it's been called the Cannons, you know, you always went to games, you knew people. It seems to be a very strong buzz as far as being in a market like Fredericksburg, which is – it's its own town, man. Like, you go down there, it's not a suburb of Washington, D.C. It's kind of its own thing. I imagine they're taking a lot of pride in the team. I'm seeing that, you know, up here in Fairfax. What has the response been like from the city itself?
It's been something special, guys. It has been something special. So, for example, right now, we are doing a free event at the stadium that people can come and just take a lap and walk around the stadium to look at the stadium from the outside looking in. We have hundreds and hundreds of people lined up to be able to just walk around the stadium and look at it. So, I mean, it's been a very special reception for us. I mean, you can't go anywhere across the entire city of Fredericksburg without seeing a bumper sticker or a car magnet. You can't walk around a Walmart without seeing a Fredericksburg Nationals hat or jersey being worn by somebody. They have absolutely done a full send dive into the brand that is the Fredericksburg Nationals. They've done a full send into their own team, and they've taken ownership of this team, and we couldn't ask for anything more.
I'm stepping on you. I apologize, but I'm looking at the hat right now. You couldn't have done a better job. The George Washington swinging the axe like a bat. I don't know what it is about that, but it is so endearing I got one of these hats now. It's one of my favorite logos that I've had. I love minor league baseball logos. This has to be one of the best ones.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to argue with you. If you're looking for an argument on that, I'm not going to argue. I think it's great. You know, and one of the other cool things that we have is that our president with the team is part of the Silver family. Our ownership group is Lonnie Weiss. Very, very few females in executive positions like that throughout minor league baseball and really professional sports in total. We also, our other alternate logo to company George Washington logo is a Mary Washington logo, and it is actually the first American professional sports female primary logo. And that's something that we're very proud of as well, to be able to break that barrier, if you will. But this community, as you know, George Washington is from, but so is his mother, Mary Washington. And that's a huge staple for this community. So to be able to bring that to life, as well as the George swinging the axe, the logos, I'm obsessed with. I'm obsessed with them just like you.
So I'm going to miss Pfitzner Stadium just because I got to play there a few different times. And I grew up going there and everything else. I mean, Chad, to give you an idea, I stunk, but I was on a team with Mark Teixeira in the Clark Griffith League. He's was an excellent Major League Baseball player in his own right, where guys would pull out a pen and paper when he would get on base and try to get his autograph. There was a game he hit four home runs in a Clark Griffith League game where the third baseman, as Teixeira's walking by or jogging by on his home run trot, tried to get him to sign something. And, you know, they couldn't do it. It was awkward. And that was the whole thing, because you just knew that this guy was different, right? Are you guys going to still have that kind of tie-in with amateur baseball as well, to allow some of the events? I mean, there was a fall showcase that I got to play there, and it was always such a treat because it felt big time, right? When me as a little high school torp at 150 pounds with awkward hair and a dumb face, but I got to play there, and it was really, really cool. Is that something you guys are going to keep doing?
Oh, very much so. Very, very much so. So that's actually one of the things I get most excited about talking. This stadium is not a stadium built for – just baseball. It's not a stadium built for just 70 games a year. We've actually done artificial turf inside the park, which is something that's, you know, pretty unique. It's a special blend. It's the same exact turf that the Marlins, Rangers, and Diamondbacks all have installed within the last 2 years. It's the same exact turf. And so the reason we put in that turf is to host events outside of baseball. So along with the amateur events that you were just talking about, so that we can, you know, showcase some high school talent from around the area, we are also looking at this as a way to bring in concerts, as a way to bring in, you know, doing movie nights on the field. We hope to at some point in time be able to provide a prom for everybody in Fredericksburg that lost out on their senior year prom this year. So we're trying to plan all those events, and that turf really helps us be able to turn around from the point of having an event in the morning and a game later that evening. We're able to do that because of that artificial turf, and it won't take the wear and tear that normal grass would obviously show throughout the day.
What about boozing, Nick? Like I see the Jumbo Shrimp. They do this bit where they just open up and they have tables 6 feet apart, and people can just go there and drink from like 3 to 7, and it's in a baseball park. It just sounds like it's a no-brainer. Are you going to be able to do stuff like that?
We absolutely are. Now, we have a couple hangups on that, in that we haven't even opened yet because of COVID. So that's our issue right now with being able to do that. But you better believe we're going to have a massive bar in left field that we'd love to be able to have open around the clock and be able to be a destination for folks in the area and really have them out here to have a great time on the field.
So what's the timetable? Like, what are you hearing? What are you thinking? Like, every bit of news you could interpret it however the hell you want. What are you guys thinking at this moment?
I'll tell you what. Every time that I hear something about Major League Baseball, I'm usually hearing it from people like you guys. You guys are probably more in the know than we are. I really mean that. So we're, like I said, we're excited to be able to find out whatever that means. But we are, you know, the kind of setup that it is, we are glued to the news outlets and hearing firsthand from, you know, from radio talk shows on what the newest news is about these negotiations. I think it's going to be a very uphill battle to have any kind of minor league season. But as far as the major league season goes, man, I'm on the edge of my seat. I just think we need baseball back in some way, shape, or form. Would love to see, you know, the owners and players and Manfred, you just be able to work everything out and be able to push forward on at least giving us some baseball this summer.
Now, the good thing is that if the interest without any games being played is what it is right now, that bodes well for when there's games actually being played. It is Nick G. Hall on Twitter. You can follow him there. And, of course, Fredericksburg Nationals tours, all kinds of stuff. They're on social media. What's the best way for people to stay in touch with the team, Nick?
Oh, no doubt it's our social media platform, man. Our guys do such a great job of, one, keeping us updated, but, two, man, if you'd really like to get to know and meet the mascot, our Facebook and our Twitter and our Instagram, that's the way to do it, man. They'll keep you laughing. I can tell you right now, the Fredericksburg Nationals are definitely a fun follow.
Go ahead and do that. All the information's there. Just search them out. Great conversation, Nick. Enjoy the event today. It's nice weather out there, and thank you so much for the time.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem, man. Nick Hall, he's the general manager of the Fredericksburg Nationals. And, you know, I don't know how much time you've spent down there, Danny. I know you've probably done some comedy shows. Mm-hmm. Fredericksburg's weird. Like, it doesn't have, I've found, the chip on its shoulder towards D.C. that Baltimore does. But it's its own little burg, man. Like, you're not, it's not just some suburb of this bigger city. They got their own vibe, and it doesn't surprise me that they would embrace a team like this.
Yeah, they've got their own traffic jams. That's the way I always think about it, right? And I'm not saying it to be dismissive. I inevitably, if I'm going to some point beyond, if I'm going to Richmond or if I'm going to the Outer Banks, I end up in traffic near Fredericksburg. It tells me that just kind of it's its own independent deal, right? And as you're 100% right, whether it's been youth sports that I've done down there, and then as I grew up doing stand-up shows down there, I really like it. I like that little burg, and it's its own independent thing. And there isn't that chip on the shoulder, the animosity for the quote-unquote big city, you know, whatever it is, 40, 50 miles to the north. And I wonder why that is.
I don't know, but it's just as someone that's been doing radio on this radio station for like 13, 14 years, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's 13 years, which is insane to me. Incredibly supportive of this station. Like, they like the cut of this station's jib. They did before it was a sports station. They do now. I'd say a third of the calls I get are from Fredericksburg. They just seem to be more proactive when it comes to interacting with the show as well. So I'm glad to see them get this spot, and I hope the team does well. And I like minor league baseball quite a bit, so it's good to have that guy on the show. We can take phone calls. I assume people are awake now. Danny Ruye is there. I'm Chad Dukes. We've talked about a plethora of topics, but also, Danny, I know you saw a tweet I had about a movie that people don't like, and it kind of sparked a topic idea. Maybe we can open up the phones for that, too, when we set that up next. Does that sound like a good idea?
It's fun to me, man. I'm into it. This is one of these things. I love these where, like, you get to know a little bit about us. And this is something that, like, you are so defiant about this, and I think it's so admirable. Like, you're standing at the front of this ship that's heading into this tornado, and you're like, full speed ahead. And everyone's like, dude, that's the – you're like, shut up. We're going forward. And I love this. I think it's so much fun.
I'm on the vanguard of doom. That is most assured on this one. But I will stick to my guns next. And we'll take some of your calls. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's Danny Ruye. I'm Chad Dukes. You're listening to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, generally, I'm okay with objectification. Danny. I'm okay if you know, if my wife likes Ryan Reynolds movies because his abs go all the way up to the moon.
Sure.
I can acknowledge that attractive women in movies is something I like seeing. I don't necessarily think that makes anybody a bad person. But the
sometimes people are attracted to other people. This is,
you think so?
You know, news at 11. Yeah, it happens.
I'm going to contemplate that. Bob Seger objectifies the woman in this song in the first four lines so horrifically that I'm actually, I like this song, but I find myself being a little triggered by it, to be honest with you.
I mean, I did not know you were going there. That got me.
Yeah. Well, he first of all, he calls her too skinny, and then he talks about how perky her boobs are, like in the same verse. And I'm like, man, I took a sack on you, Bob, to go that hard.
Here we go. You established it. That's exposition for you. You know, let me set the scene for you. Let me do a little table set.
I mean, let me let you know where my head's at. That is Danny. Oh, a quick plug, by the way. Danny, we should be doing so much payola doing this stupid shift. I own a store in Fairfax called Commonwealth Dry Goods. I will be working there today from 1 to 4 p.m. 1 to 4 p.m. on Father's Day. If you need a late Father's Day gift, we had Christmas in June yesterday. We got a bunch of cool stuff. We made a bunch of nice whiskey glasses. Come on out. It's an Old Town Fairfax. You can go to at Commonwealth Dry Goods on Instagram or on Facebook or CW Dry Goods on Twitter. We have cheer wine. We have a bunch of fun stuff. I'll be there 1 to 4 today right after this show. And, Danny, I know you've got a Patreon that's up and running right now.
Indeed. Patreon.com/FunnyDanny. You can find my little side proyecto. It's called You Seem Interesting, where I grab somebody with a unique job each and every week. This past week, former lead singer of The Walkmen, a band of note, and he's just released another solo album, Hamilton Lighthouser, was my guest. He was my guest, put my hospitality to the test. He was awesome. This week I'm talking to a former CEO and founder of a company called Game Changer that just got sold for a whole bunch of money, the Dick's Sporting Goods. They've got more data of games that have been scored than any other sports application in the history of the world, because they basically do what MLB at Bat does for Major League Baseball, but for amateur sports. And it was an ingenious invention, really, really cool. So that show's been a lot of fun. Back episodes now available, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, all that kind of stuff. But patreon.com/FunnyDanny if you want to contribute to the program. I've got a question for you, though.
Yes.
Just before you go. You got speakers at Commonwealth, don't you? Don't you have the ability to speak?
I absolutely do.
What if you committed, and just hear me out on this. It might be a challenge for you, but what if you committed to playing Shakedown on repeat your entire shift as a way to come see, watch Chad Dukes go mad at Commonwealth Dry Goods. By 2:15, you'll be concocting plans like the Joker.
I didn't think that was – I didn't know that's where you were going either. It's a nice callback. I would probably be willing to do it for as long as I could. Like, I'd be interested to see when I would tap and say, okay, let's put on some 311 because anything would be better than this. You know what, Danny? In honor of you, I'll step through the door waving the 4-4 at 1 o'clock. Here it is. I'll start playing Shakedown, and I will tweet you when I have to tap out. How about that? When I've had enough, and I've got
to
get out.
We can take bets. So what's your shift? Is it 1 to 4?
1 to 4 today. Yes.
So I'm doing some math in my head, okay? So Shakedown is what? Let's call it 4 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, so that's 15 times per hour for 3 full hours. My quick math is 45 times you could get Shakedown played during the course of your shift.
Sure.
Do you think you could do 45 times?
Well, the number 45 has come under a lot of scrutiny lately. Certainly this one is.
Well,
I'd put the over-under. The over-under for me, and this is without me scuttling it, 11 times. I think 11 times I could hear it, be like, this is fun. Okay, there's nobody in the store. It's just me listening to Shakedown.
Yeah.
And then at some point, I'm going to start pulling hairs out. So, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to keep it going for 3 hours, but I can make you no promises. This is quite the task you've laid in front of me.
I'm not trying to make your life miserable. But
yes, you are.
This a little bit. This is a promotion. This is a promotion.
I guess.
Stop by at 1 and check it. Hey, guys, it's Shakedown. Swing by again. Get yourself some lunch. Roll back in at 3:15 and watch Chad go, oh, my God, and yank his hair out of his head.
Just cursing Danny's name and shaking my fist in the air at rain clouds. Yeah, that's a great promotion. All right, all shakedown all day. Commonwealth Dry Goods. All right,
could you do it? I keep whoring you. Could you do it at your puke talk up the song bit that you and Cakes do that's a 10? Could you do a promotion for all the Rocket Dads out there talking about it's a shakedown Sunday?
Oh, my God. You mean on the radio?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can hit the post to shake that. Vic, start it over. Will you start the thing over and then turn it up a little bit? See, because I have to do it with songs I'm familiar with that I know that I can hit the post, Danny, or else I feel like I'm butchering it.
Right.
All right, here we go. Man, listen to this. Listen to this synthesizer action here.
Here we go.
This is Bob Seger, by the way. Don't lose sight of that. See, listen how long this buildup is.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, I don't know, man. I you know what? I want to overproduce, underpromise. Let me work on that. Maybe this time next week, as I'm sure we will be sitting here doing this again, I'll be able to talk that bad boy up. But I don't want to step all over Bob Seger. That would just be a nightmare for me and my reputation.
I just want to hear you, read the promotion. You know what I'm talking about? Just to get it in, guys, for all the Rocket Dads. It's a shakedown Sunday at Cowboys Dry Goods. We're doing nothing but shakedown.
You're selling yourself short. I think you could do a fine job of this as well. Maybe we'll do dueling shakedowns next week. God. All right. Now, you wanted to talk about Ghostbusters 2 because you agree with me that it's a fabulous movie and better the original. I assume that's the topic you wanted to do.
No, sir, and you know this. Okay, now, here it is. And I don't have the exact wording of the tweet, but I think you said, here's the anniversary. I think it was on June 16th. Here's the anniversary of Ghostbusters 2. It's released 31 years ago, right? Is that the math, 31 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
And you go, it was released, and for 31 years, I've been trying to convince everybody it's really, really good,
yeah,
and no one believes me, and it's just you alone facing a squall with, a knife, with, a pen knife, and you're just trying to make people understand that it's not that bad.
That's pretty much a beautiful paraphrasing of what it is, and I kind of, every year, I have these annual posts, I'm sure you do as well, Danny, where you talk about just this thing, all right, this movie came out on this date, this album, this game, and, you wax poetic about it. Every single time I see the Ghostbusters 2 anniversary come up, this is my process. And look, I understand. I don't even think I'm saying it's a better movie than Ghostbusters 1. What I'm saying is I find it more enjoyable to watch now than Ghostbusters 1. And I think maybe some of that has to do with just Ghostbusters 1 is almost like a mythical entity at this point. It's so beloved. And I've seen it so many times, and it's been on cable so many times, and you can plop me into the middle of that movie anywhere and I'm going to know the next line of dialogue. I've physically seen two less, and there's just stuff in it that I like more, like the Scolari brothers and that whole scene in the court with what is his name, Harris Yulin, I think is how you say his name, is playing the judge, and he's just perfect in that role. With Rick Moranis as the lawyer, there's so much comedy value. I love that whole sequence. I think Vigo is better than Zool. I know a lot of people are going to be upset with that. I stand by it. Wow. Janosch, why are you came? That guy and that character, I belly laugh every time he's on the screen. And he pulls the little white thing off of Dana's shoulder. I think a little white thing. Woo! I love him so much. I get it. There's some. It's basically the same movie. There's some really corny lines in the middle, but spraying the ooze all over everybody. Mm-hmm. I really think it's, and this always sounds hollow, it's not nearly as bad as everybody goes around saying this, including, by the way, Pete Venkman himself, Bill Murray, saying, I don't want to make Ghostbusters 3 because Ghostbusters 2 was so bad.
That's what I was going to do. That's what I was going to ask you. So, even the guy that made it is no, it's not for me. The slime angle, by the way, is great.
It
is so good. The positively charged slime, And walking through with the Nintendo and NES Advantage, controlling the Statue of Liberty is a 10. I pop my fist every time. I will say it drags at times for your pal. The whole Oscar storyline and the weirdness where they had to construct, kind of an evolution of the Venkman and
Dana Barrett.
Dana Barrett, thank you. Of their relationship and how weird that was. And she's going out on dates and I didn't like that. Are you together? Are you not? It's a whole thing's annoying. But I'm with Viggo's a good villain, even though you don't, he doesn't have that much screen time. He's mostly a painting that's just sort of looking at people.
I think the scene that also raised a cult, like I like seeing what the Ghostbusters were doing after they were Ghostbusters. And when they walk in and Dan Aykroyd's there, he goes, give my best to the coven, because he's selling like satanic books to witches. There's a lot of good stuff. And then Ramis and Aykroyd were all in on doing another Ghostbusters, and they just couldn't get Bill Murray to pick up the phone. And then he's off doing his weirdness with the Lost in Translation. And I get it. I'm not smart enough to – The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. I'm not smart enough to appreciate those movies. I understand that. All of you are much smarter than I am, and you enjoy quirky, weirdo comedies where you don't know where the punchline's coming and the dialogue doesn't make sense. I get it. I'm wrong about those. But he's off – doing all of that nonsense, and I'm like, you are, and this is why I have so much anger towards Bill Murray. I'm like, you may be the funniest person that's ever lived. Like, you, every time you're on screen, he made a movie called, it's just an awful movie where he's like a detective that has no idea what's going on. And that the dialogue, everything about this movie is bad, but Bill Murray is in it, so it's funny. And that's why I'm so mad at him. I'm like, dude, you could have made this happen. You could have made this work. And now Ramis is dead. We get the all women, everybody's a hero Ghostbusters. And now we get the Stranger Things Ghostbusters, which we've talked about. I just have so much animosity built up towards that. Maybe that puts the Ghostbusters 2 love over the top, too, that I know he hates it so much, so I want to love it so much.
That's part of it.
You know, it could be.
So when did he – because I actually dig the you know, the kind of that, like the Rushmores of the world. I didn't love Darjeeling, but like, I like Steve Zissou. I know I'm like, look at me. Like, I get it. I'm so smart. But I think Tenenbaums was awesome back in the day. So I like that genre of movie that he does. But it's whenever he got even, that wasn't even good enough for him anymore. When did that change? You know what I'm talking about? Where it had to be even weirder.
Well,
right?
It's like, I got even. Like, you find out that he's like tending bar in Brooklyn and he's like, you know, showing up at the Gulf. And again, this goes back to what we were talking about with Bethesda. Bill Murray should do what Bill Murray wants to do. But Jim Carrey, I'd like to play the conga drums on his head. I'm like, look, dude, maybe you're tired of being rubber-faced comedian Jim Carrey, but you make millions and millions of people happy, and you're mad about it. Think about that. I understand you want to be creative. I understand you're an actor and you're crazy. But if your biggest problem in life is that you are beloved by millions of people for something – and you have enormous hostility towards that thing, go F yourself. I have no patience for that whatsoever.
Did you ever watch Extras, the Ricky Gervais show on HBO?
I think I saw an episode with Patrick Stewart that was maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen. Yeah, it's so funny.
It's so, he's trying to pitch a script to Patrick Stewart just as the side, and Patrick Stewart's got all these ideas. He goes, all right, so I'm an X-Men, and I have X-ray vision, and she's there, but she's naked with my eyes. I can see everything. And it's just so perfect.
And he goes, she tried to cover up, but it's too late. I've already seen it. I've seen it all.
But I've already seen it. But he goes from this, and the first season of Extras, and I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. That's actually just, let's recount Extras. Here's the show. No, but like his first couple seasons, he's just an extra in the background, and that's how he earns a living, and it stinks. But eventually he gets what he wants, right? He gets his own show on the BBC. And it's this amazing journey. And once other people get involved with it, it's not the thing that he wants. He's now like, you know, basically just shouting out catchphrases, and the show's beloved. It gets great ratings. But after a couple years of it, he announces at the end of one episode that of their filming the show within the show, he's like, so that's it. It's over. You know, walking away. End of the show. And someone yells out from the audience like, why are you ending the show? And he goes, because it's not my dream. I don't want to start shouting out catchphrases for idiots. And like, that's the entire audience.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm sorry that it's not exactly your hope and dream. And if your dream was to like look melancholy out the window while it rained, while like some dumb techno music plays, like Lost in Translation, which everybody pretends is great, then I can't help you. But like, you got there because you played the Horker character. You did these, you ripped through every scene that you were in Second City. You were the star of Saturday Night Live in about 10 seconds. And in Caddyshack, you were just so amazing. You stole every scene. You flew down from New York City, and like every second you're on screen is incredible. I'm sorry that you hate that. Like, it breaks my heart.
It does. It's tough. It's like going to see you know, I heard Dylan does this. Well, you go see Bob Dylan and he'll play 17 B-sides and, you know, sing in that horrible voice. And I guess his fans like it. I don't know. To be beloved is such a difficult thing to do, especially now when everyone is so negative and you can have it snatched from you at a moment's notice for something you said in private 17 years ago. That when people just, they don't embrace it, it bums me out. And that's why when you bump into guys that don't mind talking about the thing that everyone loves them for. That's why when I told you I interviewed Michael Chiklis, and he would talk forever about the Shield if you wanted him to. And he's like, I'm so grateful for that role and how many people, what it's given me in my career. And I'm like, wow, that's so refreshing to like bump into somebody that feels that way. I don't know how this came from Ghostbusters 2. All right, well, let me turn this on you.
Okay.
What's yours? Mine's Ghostbusters 2. That's the hill I'm going to die on and everybody's against me. What is yours?
Here we go. I might have to take my headphones off while you yell at me. And this, we've actually talked about this before.
Oh, good.
I don't remember when we talked about it, but we talked about it. I'm embarrassed about this. Okay. Now, I could bring up, we actually referenced it earlier on the show. I love Mortal Kombat, the movie Mortal Kombat. It kicks ass.
Love it. Yeah.
Okay. It's awesome. People don't like it. They're wrong. We're right. That movie's awesome. Period. End of story. Okay. But here's the one I'm going to bring you, okay? Here it is. Nobody likes this movie, and I mean nobody likes it.
Right.
Except me. I like it, okay? So I'm going to say it and then not say anything, and here we go, okay? My name is Danny Ruye, and I like the movie Man of Steel.
Oh, God. This is your bit.
Remember we talked about this before.
Yep. I remember you and I I don't think you were screaming. I remember screaming about this. I remember the one thing you kept saying that for some reason I found it to at least be a compelling argument, but I also found it to be incredibly grating, is you kept saying, I like seeing Superman do Superman things. And yes. I was like, this is the most dumbed down. But then I thought about it. I'm like, well, yeah, so many Superman movies are based around, here's Kryptonite. All right, he's just like us. You know, I hate that. I don't want to see Wolverine lose his powers. I go there to see these people. Iron Man 3, he's not Iron Man for 90% of the movie. Who is going to Iron Man to see Morton Downey Jr. or whatever his name is run around and building water balloons? F that. So, like, I understand that. That's just such a bad movie, Danny.
I know.
It's just clunky. And they took Michael Shannon as Zod, which is the best casting maybe ever, and he ain't that great. How do you do that?
I don't know. But listen, Russell Crowe is awesome. Kevin Costner is awesome.
I love Kevin Costner.
Because he's perfect as Jonathan Kent. Russell Crowe as Jor-El is awesome, okay? Superman doesn't just lose his powers. Superman doesn't have to make an impossible choice where he saves Lois or the world. It's a real challenge. It's grounded. It's human reaction to what he would look like. Yeah, it's probably 45 minutes too long. And yeah, it's so DC and it's so dark and they're trying to be so dark and brooding and they can't get out of their own way. Superman, he's on the tower in the middle of the ocean, the oil rig. It's not that dumb Brandon Routh version where it was Kevin Spacey for 2 hours and Brandon Routh flies once and saves the plane and that's it. And he's basically arguing with dumb Kate Bosworth the whole time. That movie sucked and it broke my heart. Superman flies, he jumps, he lifts stuff, he gets to be Superman. And that's all I've ever wanted since I was a kid. And that nonsensical, he flies around the world to reverse time, which, by the way, is so far-fetched and so stupid, the dumb Richard Donner ending. It's the biggest beer truck ending in the history of the world, but I still love it because he's Superman. Just bring me that, and I like this movie, and I admit that I'm probably wrong about it.
Right.
But because you already touched on Michael Shannon's great, and I don't know who the anonymous henchmen were, but they were good, too. I like it. I like the movie. I do.
Couple of things. I don't think Michael Shannon was... My biggest beef was I don't think they let Michael Shannon be Michael Shannon enough as Zod. I think you either make him Zod or you make him Michael Shannon, and they didn't let him do either. The two things you touched on. Russell Crowe as the, for lack of a better term, Cortana to Superman's Master Chief. I loved that bit. That bit was a 10 out of 10. I could have watched 45 minutes of that.
That's what it was. He's Cortana.
Right? And then the end, when they make Superman kill him, everyone lost their mind. They were mad. And I'm like, thank God. Yep. The worst thing about Superman is what a Boy Scout he is. And that's why I like the Injustice Superman. That's why I like the, what is it called, Crimson Dawn, I forget, where he's over in Russia and he's fighting Batman. I love it when Superman gets a hard you-know-what on. And I thought that's, yeah, you got to kill this guy or he's going to murder. There's no other option.
Yeah,
we're not
there's
gonna do something
your impossible choice.
Right.
I wanted that. Instead of the, you can only save one, mustache twist, which you've seen a million times. I thought that was bold. Thank you, Zack Snyder, finally, for doing something. I like it. I like it. That's all I keep saying the same thing over and over again. I'm just like yelling at you that I like it. You're aware that I like it. But I do. I enjoy it.
I like the end, and I like that it wasn't, all right, here's some sort of crazy Superman solution where he does it and he goes, I'm Superman, and saves everybody. No, I have to snap this madman's neck because it's the only thing that's going to work, and it's going to piss a bunch of people off. That, to me, was the best part of that movie. It's not – look, I'm not offended by Man of Steel. I just – to me, Danny, I think that the character's outdated. I don't think you can make a compelling Superman movie because – think about how much more complex the character of Wolverine is. And, you know, the rise of the anti-hero when you're talking about Deadpool and all these other – and just Superman's not that. That's why I got to be honest with you. I think the Captain America, the second one, the Winter Soldier, I can't believe I'm describing Captain America. He's a huge Boy Scout. He shouldn't even – he can't exist in the world we have right now. And somehow they made this awesome, you know, Bourne Identity espionage movie out of these cartoony – Marvel characters. And that's where I really respect Marvel is they've decided, look, we got to all the dullards and mouth breathers need to see these characters, but let's make a comedy. Let's make a horror movie. Let's make a gonzo space opera. Like, I like the fact that they're painting inside of this canvas that everyone's forced to paint inside because no one will go see movies that aren't tent poles anymore.
Well, and you mentioned Cap. If he's just running around like, I stand for truth and let's fight on the side of justice, it's boring. You're 100% right. They had to make his virtue a crime.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so brilliant. And you're 100% right about that. And it sets up the conflict in Civil War and then, you know, the two factions. Everything about that worked for me. I don't know how you would do that. I mean, you know, I'm curious to see what the Snyder Cut of Justice League is going to look like. Honestly, I'm morbidly curious. But if, you know, Darkseid's introduced, maybe that could be fun. But ultimately, you're right, because Superman is so static, it's the villain that's compelling. Like, you go again, go back to the Richard Donner film, Gene Hackman kicks ass. He's awesome as Lex Luthor, right? You need that again. And as good as Kevin Spacey was, but I know we're not allowed to mention his name anymore, but he's not compelling as that version of Lex Luthor. Like, he just wasn't given the right meat to chew on. So I don't know. It is hard to do, but I think you can thread the needle. And at a minimum, people gawking in their reaction, sort of pulled the mirror up to our society about what Superman might be doing and how we would treat him, I thought was a nice choice from Snyder. There you go.
Yeah. I got a Kevin Spacey joke right now that would definitely get me fired, so I'm going to pull back on the reins. Vic, what are we looking like here? Should we break on through to the other side, or do you want us to keep going, or what's the best thing to do?
We can go till 54.
54?
Yep.
All right, fair enough. You mentioned Hackman, by the way, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I have a lot of respect for these guys that at the end of their life, they kind of decide, I'm not giving you the me in the wheelchair drooling. You're going to remember me having a face-off with Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven in the Blue Bottle Saloon. But I don't know that Hackman, he's never on anyone's top 10 list. And he's in everything good. He's always good. When he pops up in bad movies, the bad movies instantly get better. When he's a bad guy, I like him. When he's a good guy, I like him. I mean, he is an insidious, awful character. There's this movie called Absolute Power with Clint Eastwood where they rekindle the whole back and forth they had in Unforgiven. And he's like this awful, insidious president, and I still like him because he's Gene Hackman. That's one of the most tragically underrated individuals I think that's ever walked the earth.
He's terrific. And he, just to your point, he and Sean Connery basically made the same choice where they said, you're not going to see me.
Yep.
Barely able to mutter my lines at the end. I'm going my way. Like, my catalog stands on its own, and it does, by the way. I mean, he's in, like, remember that movie, what was it? Heartbreakers, I think is what it was called. You know what I'm talking about? It was like Sigourney Weaver is in it, Jennifer Love Hewitt's in it. Like, that movie objectively sucks, but he's so likable. He's great. And Connery, I think the last thing Connery made that was of note was the Catherine Zeta-Jones movie around like the turn of the millennium, you know, about the espionage movie was, where he was a master thief, and he's like, "That's it, I'm out, I'm walking away. You're not gonna see me in any other way."
Yeah, that was Absolute Power. That was the one I'm talking about. That's a great movie if people haven't seen it. Do you know the last – I would not have gotten this. Do you know the last movie that Gene Hackman was in and what year it was?
I'm going to say 2005, and I would know the movie off the top of my head.
Welcome to Mooseport in 2004. In 2004, he's been retired. That's unbelievable.
Was that the one with Ray Romano?
Oh, it absolutely is. But he's in the French Connection. I mean, you go down that guy's list. It's just Hoosiers. I mean, think about he was in Hoosiers. He's the principal figure of the most beloved sports movie of all time. It's just it's nuts. And whenever he comes up, I'm always, like, baffled. And I'm reminded I got to interview him once on Big O and Duke because he wrote a Civil War book. Yeah, man. And he came on. I got to tell him how much I loved Unforgiven, and he was very gracious about it. That was a big one for me.
Who's the biggest actor you've had on a show? Is it Hackman?
Do you mean biggest, like, as
far as I know you love Chiklis, but, like, who, like there are higher profile guys than Michael Chiklis.
Well, if you're going to talk about for me or for like in the zeitgeist of the world,
because we've
had like huge. We went to the Super Bowl. Like Hugh Jackman was on the show, and Adam Sandler, and guys like that. For me, it's Roy Scheider. I got a chance to interview Roy Scheider, who, of course, plays Martin Brody in Jaws. And I've never got a chance to interview Dreyfus. And unfortunately, Robert Shaw is dead. And I can't imagine. I know Kevin McCarthy is probably somewhere vacationing with Steven Spielberg, so I'll probably never get to interview him. But to be able to interview that guy and talk to him about Jaws, and he was telling me stories on set about the three of them, like, doing those boat scenes. I mean, you feel like you've touched something mythical. And it was a phoner, and he probably never remember it. But, again, another guy, very gracious. He was promoting something. I don't even remember. And I said, sir, I have to ask you some Jaws questions. And he said, go right ahead. it was amazing.
So this also, for me, goes to our previous topic. But we had Kevin Bacon not that long ago. And he was definitely he was promoting something. Maybe in the Bacon Brothers band or whatever. But I was basically like, I said, hey, Grant, I'm sorry about this. Mr. Bacon, sir, I'm also sorry about this. I got some questions about Tremors, and I need to talk to you about Stir of Echoes, bro.
Stir of Echoes.
Never got it because it came out 6 weeks ago. It was like the dumb Armageddon Deep Impact thing.
Yeah.
It came out 45 minutes after the Bruce Willis is Dead movie, and it never got the credit it deserved. That movie was awesome.
Creepier than Sixth Sense, I think is the movie you're talking about. Yeah,
absolutely. And
Bacon's a good one, dude.
It came out at the wrong time. Like, if it came out 6 weeks before, we would have talked about it in a completely different way.
There's another movie. I'm trying to remember what it was that he was in. That it was like a Steven Seagal movie. It was a revenge movie, and John Goodman is in. Oh, it's called Death Sentence. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Dude, that is one of the most brutal movies I've ever seen. It's like a revenge thriller if it really happened. And he is a force in that movie. The acting in that. And then, by the way, remember him in X-Men? How he casually was in X-Men First Class and was absolutely amazing.
I thought it was a rather mediocre movie.
Yes.
He's perfect.
He's unbelievable. He loves that band, though, doesn't he? The only time Kevin Bacon was to interview that band. Loves them.
Yeah, we got him on to talk about the band. I think we'll maybe even cut that.
Yeah, probably. Why would you want to sit and listen to that? All right, well, Danny, I swear to God, it's like a walk in the park every single Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, buddy. Easy peasy.
All right, so I'm working at the shop. Come on by. Commonwealth Dry Goods. I'll be there in 1 hour. I'll be there till 4 o'clock. You go to Danny's Patreon. Oh, hey, we're both on Cameo. I assume it's cameo.com/funnydanny.
No, it's cameo.com/Drouye. They wouldn't let me
Drouye.
Use the Drouye. So my terribly spelled last name with so many vowels and an H in there. So good guess. Figure it out. Good luck in there.
By the way, mine's cameo.com/Chad Dukes. That's a lot easier.
That's much easier if you're comparing. There's a comparison. You would win.
Very good. At Funny Danny, at Chad Dukes. Thank you to JT the Vic. We appreciate him. And thank you to all of our guests. And Danny, I love doing radio with you. It's actually one of the highlights of my week. Don't take this the wrong way. I hope I don't see you next week at this same time.
We agree on everything that you just said.
Very good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. I have no idea what's coming up next, and I don't care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.